Most importantly, thank you, God, because you're always faithful. I thank you for your presence, that it brings true peace, true rest. I thank you, God, that it was by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and not loving our lives even unto death that we are able to conquer. And so I thank you, God, that today that you would open up our ears so that we would hear you speak, that you would open up our hearts, that the seed would be sown on good ground, Lord. And I pray that the enemy would not be able to take it or steal anything, that whenever tests and trials come, Lord, that we would remember the word of the Lord and we would stand on it. And so I just pray, God, for, yeah, truth to just pierce our hearts today. I thank you that you protect Pastor Sean as he shares this message that you've already given him. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak through him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Love you. Love you. Yeah, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm going to start out kind of strong in this. I'm kind of walking in spirit and in truth is difficult. I don't know if you know, if you've ever tried to walk a perfect line for Jesus, be led and also be honest. And so I had a sermon clip that Dr. Heidi and I are listening to. And I thought it'd be good for the church to open up this series. I think it'd be good for us. Good. Let me define good, though. Like, it's good to exercise, right? How many of us do it every day? Don't have to raise your hands. Don't make us feel bad, all you buff people. But I every day, who stretches and exercises every day? But it's good for us. That's actually good. It's, you know, broccoli is good for you. Spinach, good for you. You know, some things that are good aren't always comfortable. There's Anna. Sometimes culture sells you a bunch of malarkey, you know? And we were discussing, my grandmother was an old Irish gypsy. No joke, 100% Irish, 100% gypsy. And she was superstitious about everything, and everything had a meaning, and, you know, she'll tell you anything, you know. And I was mesmerized as a kid, but Anna and I were talking. She said, I had a random bird poop on me the other day. And she goes, is that supposed to be a blessing? And we go, I don't know, look it up. You know, is that a blessing? My grandmother would say it would be. But I realized if bird poop was a blessing, and it really was true, you believe that. You brought up in that culture that bird pooping on you is a blessing. You'd be rolling around in bird poop all the time. That's crazy, right? There's things that are real blessings, and there's things that aren't. And the enemy tries to distract us on those things. So I want this sermon series to be like good broccoli soup or spinach on your burger. I don't know. I know. There's bacon too. But so I want you to do this one. Before I play this clip, we're going to play it in just 13 seconds. I want you to take a deep breath in. Blow it all the way out. And I want you to listen really hard if you can.
I've been studying this book for over 30 years, deeply, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, and in English, just over and over. Try to read through this book at least once a year because I want to know the truth. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to count on someone else telling me what it says. Best I, and I could be wrong, I'm a human being, but I'm just saying, man, best I can understand this book and what Jesus says about following him. Here's what I am most concerned about, to put it as plainly as I can. I am deeply concerned that even though you are sitting in a church building, that some of you one day will go to hell to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And by the time you figure it out, it'll be too late. That's my biggest concern. Look, I have a couple of fears. One fear is I don't want anyone thinking they're going to heaven if they're not. That's horrible. And the most loving thing is not to just let people go and not offend them and wait till they figure it out at the end. But I also have another fear, man. I don't want people who know Jesus to feel like they don't and be worried about it. And how to walk that tension and go, God, I don't want to just get everyone worried about their salvation. At the same time, I don't want everyone just to assume that they're saved. And so you just go, I don't know how to differentiate the two. I just try to get away from myself as much as I can and just read the words of Scripture and let it happen. But I tell you, if I'm completely honest right now, that's what I care about. I know some of you guys are struggling in your marriages, and I care, but not as much as I care about this. Some of you are struggling with sickness, and I care, but not as much as this. Some of you are dealing with racial tension. Some of you are dealing with the loss of a job, and I care, but not nearly as much as I care about this, because this is forever, okay? This is forever. We're all going to stand before this God, and he's going to say one of two things for you, and it lasts forever, forever. Either well done, good and faithful servant. Man, come over here. Man, you're my son. You're my daughter. Get over here forever and ever. Or depart from me. I never knew you. I mean, one of the passages that caused me to get into Christian ministry was when I read Matthew 7, verse 21, where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And right before, he was talking about, man, you can tell the good tree by the good fruit.
We should always hear that. The book of Romans is, I'm giving a warning. You know, ever watch something on labels or on something that says warning, please read? Man, I would if it wasn't such tiny print. I just, you know, I figured out. But warning, I really want to say that in tongue in cheek, but in reality, there's mature content ahead. The series is called The Hard Road. Romans is real and it's serious. And if there's mature content ahead, and I want us to try to, as a church, grab it like this. It's maturing content. Like we should be maturing. If you have a baby that only crawls, you know, if you got teenagers, imagine they're crawling around because they never took the step, never wanted to mature. No, I just like crawling. I eat soft foods. My mom feeds it to me on a spoon. That's how I like it. You go, dude, that's dysfunctional. But we kind of like that with our Christian faith. We don't want to be stretched and matured. I don't want to exercise. I used to want to, but it's harder now, you know. And if you have kids in here, I'm going to give warnings for controversial topics because there's some hard things in the book of Romans. And they're so hard that I rarely ever discuss them publicly in 21 plus years. So pray for me during this series because it's mature content. And I want us to be matured by it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of things that happen frequently when Paul discusses stuff in this book. And here's what those things are. Usually the enemy and people cause division with this. And at times it should because the word of God is a double-edged sword, sharp dividing. Right? But don't let things divide us. But don't let things keep you bound. Like, don't let things keep you bound. And so this is how I felt when I was getting the sermon. Right about here as I'm writing it down, I'm going to give you emojis for my feels, okay? And here's how I felt thinking about that. Yeah, muy, muy triste. Very, very sad. The book of Romans, say God's word. The book of Romans will most likely be the most unpopular series I've ever done. I have an emoji. Yeah. It's the hard road, the book of Romans is. And you know what? I decided, how am I going to do this? I'm going to squid it out. I'm going to go 16 weeks straight. Maybe. I may smoosh some chapters together. I may slow roll through it. But this series, as I was going through it, is definitely not a recommended church growth strategy. You don't like, hey, you know what? You really want to just cause the church to get up in numbers. Then you get money for you'll be able to get a second service and the money comes in and then you get a new building. But you keep doing what you're doing. I'll just keep doing what God asked me to do. There's nothing about that for me. Pray for us to have a building. Pray he leads us somewhere. Pray Mr. Gardis or whoever owns this building reps it to the ground and builds this one because he got a revelation from God. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. But I know if you're going to grow the church numbers, you don't turn them up a hard road. I would love a miracle, but I'd really love us to be more mature over the miracle. You know, I have an emoji that makes me feel like I can move on next. Yeah, I can. I think that's... I honestly believe that part of a pastor's job, it's just part of the job, is to give opportunity for people in the church to mature. Right? So if you are the church, are you the church? I am the church, all right. So if you are truly the church, then when we know that his ways are certain, no matter how hard they are, his ways, no matter how hard, are the best ways. Man, we the church know that sometimes. And have some ever lived to learn a lesson more than once? Yeah, you're my people. You know, we know that to be the church, we often have to abandon things like our own feelings and ways. Right? Because you're dead to ourselves, alive to Christ. What's it mean? It sounds like poetic. It's on, you know, framed up in people's house. I'm dead to myself and alive to Christ. Well, what does that mean? You don't have your ways anymore. Your ways are gone. When you accepted Jesus, he became Lord and Savior. Lord means his ways are above our ways, and my ways can't be my ways. No matter how I feel about his ways are better than my ways. On any subject, if God wants to talk about anything and I feel a little different than he does, I'm wrong. No matter how uncomfortable I am, Lord, I know I beg to differ. I'm going to get a pool of people together, and they're probably on my side. You know, anything that's contrary to what he says, we have to abandon it. Because we, the church, have to be rooted in the whole Word of God. And the book of Romans is a significant part of the Word of God. So I'm going to take a social peek at our life and the conflicts that I often hear. Ever hear this as a Christian? Why would a loving God, blah, 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 blah. Fill in the blank. Why would a loving God, blah, blah, fill your blahs in, right? Or how about this one? If he were a loving God, wouldn't he blah, 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 blah? People who don't know him have awful big opinions of things he should do. Like, who are we to tell him anything? Well, you're Jack. That's janky. I'm not even going to teach that, Lord. I'm going to cut that out of my Bible. So the problem is there's only one true Lord, right? And only he makes the rules, and we can't tell him the rules. Have you ever, like, tried to tell him the rules? I ask for blessings, and I put them in this little box. I want it to be like this, you know? I do that. Plus, here's a real truth. What healthy, loving parent doesn't have unpopular rules? If you're a healthy, loving, you have, you know, Noah, one of the first things I remember him learning, like, reason, hot, anything that looked hot. It could be a picture of hot. He's like, hot, I'm staying away. My mom and dad said, the hot, no to hot, right? Wise, that's good, healthy strategy. If you're like, well, Junior's going to learn, let's go see him put his hand on the burner, he'll learn. That's bad parenting. Some of us had parenting like that. I won't stay there too long. Don't touch that. It's hot. Don't climb up there. Don't hug a cactus. My cousin had to be told not to do that. I don't know what was wrong with him at that age. Don't hang out with Stinky. Parents ever had you and a friend like he was Stinky? And you got yourself in trouble, but they mostly got you in trouble. And your parents like, no more. Can't Stinky. Can't. I was Stinky in most cases. I think parents marked me as Stinky. Come on, you have to admit it. Healthy parenting requires unpopular rules, right? I have an emoji. We all feel this. Yeah. Unpopular rules. You got to admit that. Ever notice what's popular is not always healthy? I'm trying to be upfront about Christianity as we head into this season. The ways of following Jesus are often like running against the wind of a hurricane. Hurricane-type winds in our culture. Christians are supposed to be dead to themselves and alive to Christ, and how do you make that work? And we have to realize that as a Lord in my life, then he's got a code of conduct and expectation for me to live here a certain way. So I was raised with hippies. It's like, just love the one you with. Woo! You know, that just was. That's what everything's no rules, no boundaries. You know, and that didn't work for me for a while because with no boundaries, I was kind of guy headed for death. But when I found there is a code of conduct, and actually when I accepted my Lord, that he has an expectation of me. And God was so kind to piece together a manual called the Bible, right? And this is a little kid acronym, but I have it up here anyways. I want us to remember this. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. If you don't know what to do in your life, you don't know how to feel about it, if culture says one thing, and you're like, what does God say? You can find it in your Bible. Like, it's behind for us, you know. I offer proof, you know, in the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. I have proof about the hard road of Romans being important in our lives. All Scripture. Say all Scripture. All Scripture. It's just the ones I like? Nope. Just this or that? Nope. All Scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration and profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin. That's not popular. Unpopular. It's unpopular with all of us, right? Not just them, whoever them is. Like, they should be hearing this. No. God's conviction is good. If you ever walks away from caring about you touching things that are hot that'll burn you, man, like, let conviction hit you when it comes. Don't deflect it, but like, receive it so God can make us healthy. I'm just saying, it's unpopular. All Scripture is profitable for instruction and conviction of sin, all of it, and for training in righteousness, learning to live in a conformity to God's will. It takes a while to begin. There's a working Jesus in your process, right? You learn things. I was around men of God who were trying to be men of God, and I learned things. And I learned that, hey, God would do it this way. You can't be stinky and love Jesus. You got to work on your stinky. And so conformity as well, both publicly and privately. Say, be authentic. Be authentic, right? Be authentic. Behaving honorably. That's not always easy, right? How many of you, come tax season, you don't grumble when you sign away half your money? You're like, well, I love to give to Uncle Sam. Take it all. Take it all. No, most of us are like, I don't need that. Can I get another deduction? What? Can we claim your mom? Can we claim someone else's mom? We get some moms around here. Behaving with personal integrity and moral courage. Behaving with personal integrity and moral courage so that the man of God, say I'm the church, may be complete and proficient, mature. Complete and proficient. Outfitted and thoroughly equipped. Sounds like a military term. Sounds like good parenting. You know what I mean? If you just let them crawl around and they can eat whatever they want, there's no rules, and they're 30, they're crawling, and one day you just go, you know what? I know you can't walk, and you never learned to drive, and you can't feed yourself, but you got to go. You're equipped for the world now. You know, Eva's what, 4 months old? 2.5 months? I don't know. I'm terrible. I don't know. But she's not equipped to be out on her own. But Jai and Pastor Justin's job is to equip her so for one day she can be emotionally, spiritually, and physically, right? Equipped for every good work. So I have a uno mas, Dios biblioteca. One more scripture from the Bible. Right? Did I do it? Kind. Marisol's going, no, no, no. Pastor, no, no. She goes, muy excelente. But small is the gate and narrow and difficult to travel. Say the hard road. But small is the gate and narrow and difficult to travel. Lemon difficult is the path that leads the way to everlasting life. And there are few who find it. Following the way, the truth of life can be a hard road sometimes. Sometimes it's a hard road, you know. Never compare your hard road to someone else's sacrifice, especially to Paul. Right? Like, if you start fussing, just read what Paul went through. I'm good. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. So I want us to look at this largely anticipated series, how wonderful it's going to be for maturing us, but how uncomfortable it may be for a while. Romans 1, 1 through 5, The Hard Road, Episode 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave, a bondservant. You know what that means? He intentionally had freedom that he could do whatever he wanted to. A servant, when they're let go, you'd be free. You worked off your slave contract. And the slave would go, no, I love my master so much that I'm going to serve him under covenant contract unto death. And they would pierce their ear to show that I belong to somebody. That's offensive in our culture. I'm just saying, but he's kind of compared to what they understand. He said, I'm a slave. That doesn't start off breezy, does it? I mean, how's our slavehood going? If God says jump, do we say how high? We say not today. My word preference is that we hear only sometimes when I speak up here. I mostly like to speak about the love of father and the son relationship. And I prefer that. And I like to read Psalms. And I like to be encouraged. But here's the truth. Jesus is either Lord of my life or he's not. Is he Lord of your life? Or are you still in? Stuff we want to think about as a church, because if we don't have that down, everything Francis Chan said. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago. So deep roots, right? Long ago. Through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. The good news about his son. His earthly life was born into David's family and was shown to be the Son of God. Rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's easy to forget all that sometimes. It's amazing. He's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God gave us the privilege and authority to tell Gentiles what God had done for them. Why? Why do we share the things that God has done in his word and in our life? Like, what's the purpose? Like, so we, what is it? You know, it's for one reason. It's what it's supposed to be. So what they will believe and obey him and bring glory to his name. Man, I needed to know somebody that really had Jesus in their life. You know, I heard about it on TV, and I didn't really like the way it was presented. And I wandered into a church, and I met some guys that were sitting on that side of the pulpit who were searching God. And I got to see real guys with real struggles really apply Jesus to their life. Man, it changed everything. And their testimony helped me believe, right? So as a follower, as a bondservant, as a slave to the one God, am I completely doing it his way as best I can? Romans 1, 6 through 7. If you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Christ, we don't deserve that, right? It's an amazing privilege. You know, Jody and I were talking. We always come back to this, you and I. Like, you'll boil almost all our conversations. We're going to sneak this in, one of us. If God never does another thing, I'm blessed. I don't need another thing. God, I whine and pray all sorts of things for him, and I want things for people I love. But if God said, no, you're tapped, if he never does another thing for me, that's enough. He came. He rescued a guy that didn't deserve rescuing. Right? Paul says, I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his holy people. I'm the church now. May God our Father, the Lord of Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. Now, there are some easy and some hard things to hear parallels between Rome and modern church. Where we are in the U.S., and I wanted to see, when Paul's writing the Romans, I wanted to see what were the top five problems going on in Rome at the time of this letter. I wanted to know. Are you excited? I wanted to know what they were. So here's Rome's top five shakedown. Idolatry. Well, we don't have that today. Does anything in our culture get more attention and respect than God does? Does anything in our life... Anything, and that makes anything, anyone, anything, does it get more attention than God and respect in our life? Number two, rampant sexual immorality. That doesn't sound like the U.S. at all. Sounds exactly like us. Low value on human life. I looked at research. This is what they did. They abandoned unwanted babies. They practiced slavery and oppression. Wherever they came in, they conquered. You were a slave first. And then the fourth one's violence. Anybody watch the news? Filled with violence. And the fifth one, a corrupt political system on all sides. All sides have it. And I looked at that list and I go, That resonates exactly with our culture today. So if he's writing to Romans, he's still writing to me. Well, that was to them. No, I am the church now. So he's writing to me. Verse 8. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. Dude, that's so exciting. Always being looked at. The church is always being looked at. And you, unfortunately, you hear a bunch of, like, when someone falls in ministry or someone has a sin or a big ministry gets in trouble, it's big news, and you start to think the whole church is jacked up. That's not true. Like, do you know how many people's lives are impacted by some of your stories that I get to share? I'm allowed to share some of your stories a little bit. All over the world. That's supposed to be what our witness is, all over the world. Your story is to share what God's done in your life all over the world. And I'm telling you, you're talked about. You're talked about either in a good way or bad way, but you're talked about. The church is always being looked at. So what does our culture see when they see you? When they see me, when they see the church, what do they really see? I'm grateful. I pray they see a better version of Jesus every day, but I don't know if that's working out always. You know, I had a meltdown the other day. I just want to go into a cave and roll a stone in front of it and be in there with a pot pie. Just leave me by a fork and a pot pie, you know. But God's ways are best, right? And he's a good father. So the hard things that are going to be spoken in this book, remember, he's a good father. He doesn't want you to touch hot. Well, if he really loved us, no, he really loves you. That's what he's telling you. He's a good father. Romans 1, 9 through 15. God knows how often I pray for you day and night. I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, the God whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. Pause there a second. You remember what happens to Paul the next time he gets back to Rome? He left off in Acts. He was going under arrest. Nero beheads him. Paul's writing to the church. He's like, I can't wait to come see you. When I come see you, he's, but we know. Paul's next trip to Rome, he gives his head for Jesus. He's beheaded. And then we think we got it rough. So Nancy was meaning to be the cooler. You know? She said, turn that Jesus music down before I slap you. And I just, the persecution. Man, beheaded. He didn't know it though. Help, Holy Spirit, help us be brave in the moments we feel like we're going to be beheaded. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some special spiritual gift. A gift that will help you grow strong, mature. Mature. Gifts are helping mature, not stay in. Like some people, when the church goes through revival in different places and God's breaking out, everyone wants it to stay just like that. And that's not mature. That's not growing. You know, maturing is growing and taking that freedom and doing something with it. He says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. So grow for yourself and grow for others. When I see other people's faith grow through hard things, I get stoked. Like, I texted Josiah this morning. I was just so proud of him, I just threw him a text. Man, I just remember he's a little sniff of a fella. You know? Cool as heck. I don't know if he came out cool, but ever since I met him, Josiah's like, you want a picture of cool? That's that guy. But I'm telling you, I've seen changes. I've seen changes, and it's been great to see kids come in just as little waifs and grow up, and it's been good. I want to be encouraged by your guys' faith. So I want you, dear brothers and sisters, to know that I planned many times to visit you, but I've prevented. Well, there's a timing. Paul could have broken into the stone song. You want me to, Wendy? Okay. You can't always get what you want, but you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. Oh, yeah. Paul wanted to go to Rome, and he wanted to hang out with his people, and he wanted. It's a great part of pastoring in these 21 years, this part. I want you to work among you and see spiritual fruit just as I've seen it among other Gentiles. Pastoring is seeing that sometimes. And it's so exciting to me because when I get discouraged, I have to look at your fruit. Like if I ever get discouraged, I go, man, Mark's not what he used to be. Remember, he came in here. Man, remember Alejandro came in here? It was just, you know, like, I'm looking for that girl. Well, he got more than that girl. Right? And you, those moments, right? But to watch you guys grow in Jesus, and I know some of you sacrifice so much. For I have a great sense of obligation to the people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated alike. Coming together and balancing that is very hard, right? So I'm eager to come to you in Rome too, to preach the good news. Paul's going to lay this life down. He's going to show them exactly what it looks like to become a born-again Christian. Rome's going to, they heard it. They heard that he walked the hard road. They heard he was mocked. They heard he was come against on every side. But eventually he's going to walk down and they're going to see him live it out to the end. Romans 1, 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is. Say it is. It is the power of God at work. The power of God at work saving everyone who believes. Before your mind gets trapped up in this next part in semantics or details, if you're prone to do this, you could get stuck in this. So if you're prone, like say your kid comes home from school or someone you know comes and tells you a story and you say, hey, how are you doing today, sweetheart? And they say to you something like, it was okay, I got hit by a car, but the school nurse and principal told me not to say anything, so they gave me ice cream and $5. If you walk away as a parent going, I wonder what kind of ice cream they had, you're going to miss the point, right? Don't miss the point. Okay, at work, it says, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, also the Gentile. The good news tells us how God might make us right in his sight. In his sight, all that matters. Sometimes other people's sight matters more to me. Anyone ever get trapped in other people's sight? And look, you know, look in the sight. The good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from the start by faith. Finish and by faith. All the scriptures, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now, Paul's amazing. So far, this isn't too hard, right? You're like, this is a hard road, and we're on this. Dr. Heidi and I teach this thing in Ethos. If you have a conflict, you want to bring it to somebody, you want it to be received well, it's called A-T-E. You want this eight, A-T-E. You start with affirmation that's sincere, some kind of affirming thing, you know. Like, man, I love you so much. It's so great to be your husband. It's been a fantastic honor, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And then the truth is I didn't make the bed this morning, and I want you to know I'm sorry. But my encouragement, affirmation, the truth, and encouragement is I promise when you get home, I'll make the bed like I always do because I love you very much. It's, ever grew up with Mary Poppins? A spoonful of sugar? I have some of you have two different Mary Poppins. That's the Mary Poppins I grew up with, right? Yeah, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And some of you grew up with this Mary Poppins. Yeah, Mary Poppins, y'all. Yeah, if you don't know, you don't know, but you should, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, I have to find some space to goof off once in a while in this series. It's going to be really hard for me. So every once in a while, I just need to go, I'm going to do this. Why? Because I feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I'll try to cut back on the nonsense for time's sake, okay? See, he's a good father. Once again, this is mature content. Be advised if you have children. This isn't easy, but it's true. This isn't easy, but it's true. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. And you're welcome to turn your head away from it if you want to. If you want to ostrich up, that is a choice. But how are we going to ever mature? How are we going to change into his image and not try to change him into ours? Romans 1, 18 through 20. For God does not overlook sin, and the wrath of God, the wrath, like he's a loving God. He has consequences. He's both. He warned us all the things that wrath comes on, he warns, can be avoided. It's not like accident. He didn't leave these things like, I didn't tell you about that one. I was going to see if you tripped up yourself. He lays it out, right? He warned us, but some of us want to go our own way, are prone to go our own way. And I started thinking about his love as like a storm. I have a worship song I pray to sometimes. And a storm, for me, I love to chase storms. Any storm chasers, I love to chase storms. Just me. Yeah, just two of us, babe. These people are not into storms. But I would love, back in New York when you're kids too, the power lines are hanging everywhere and they get these bulletins, warning. You know, you have like four stations on TV back in the day and one of them, warning, thunderstorms, lightning storms, terrible storms are coming. And I used to love watching them. I'm a storm watcher sitting in the rain. But there's something different about a storm. You change your perspective. If you're standing out in the fury of it, it's all different. And he gives us these warnings like, hey, bad weather's coming. Ah, I've survived bad weather before. There's consequences. He's a good father. He gives us warnings. The storm can be terrifying, but he can also keep you safe from it. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Men who in their wickedness suppress and stifle the truth. I've tried for 21 plus years to preach the truth here as line upon line as I can. The church is responsible to share the whole truth, not just the heartwarming parts. No matter its popularity. Be praying for his church. Like, be praying for his church. Suppress the truth because that which is known about God is evident within them. What's he saying? God said, people say, well, I never knew God. He put an inner consciousness in this. It's what he says. He made it evident to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense. God said this. Failing to believe and trust him, even if you never had the gospel preacher, right, even if you had your Bible, said there's an inner conscience I put in mankind for them to understand this. He said, but if you fail to believe, you are without excuse and without defense. That's hard. That's not cheery. Romans 1, 21 through 23. Said mature content. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. On the contrary, you know what on the contrary means? Opposite. They didn't honor him or give thanks. They did the opposite. What God considers honor and thanks, they did the opposite of that. I want to honor God. Well, they did the opposite. On the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking, godless with pointless reasonings and silly speculations, and a foolish heart was darkened. He tried to warn them. The Father God tried to show the way. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God for an image. Any image you choose that's not God is poisonous. Images in the shape of mortal man, self, self-worship, of birds, poop birds from the sky, you know. Four-footed animals and reptiles and the sun and the moon and the constellations, all sorts of things, right? Idolatry is this simple. Anything else that is not the one true God worship is idolatry. Anything that's put above him is an idolatry thing. And there's consequences to choosing idolatry. And he's telling them that. He's reminding them that. The consequences of not doing the things that mature us can be hard. Romans 1:24. Therefore, when they would not listen, therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their own hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, abandoning them to their degrading power of sin because of by choice. Just because you've been given an option to choose doesn't mean you're going to make a good choice. And apparently they're making bad choices. Number two, was it on the list? Sexual immorality. By choice, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature, abandoning the creator who's blessed forever. Say, silly Romans. What could they be thinking? Honestly, doesn't that sound ridiculous? What kind of mess have they got themselves into? I mean, thank gosh, we're not Romans. Say, mature content is ahead. Truth is truth, and we can't change it. Or it wouldn't be truth. So I want to treat this like a dad who loves, but also has to rip off a Band-Aid. This is where this is the hard road. This is where culture wants to smash around. This is where a guy in the NBA got kicked off his team because he made a stance for Jesus, and he did it very well, but they kicked him off his team because of an immoral issue they wanted to put on his jersey. That's consequences. Romans 1:26 through 27. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. He abandoned them to their own shameful desires. Even the women turned against their natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with one another. That's promoted, isn't it? And I know we got people trapped in that. You might know folks. There's people I love that struggle, fight that all the time. That are in the struggle. They're trying to put Jesus first. And then the world, though, isn't saying that. The world said, it's okay. It's a new, brand new day. Jesus came. He has grace. Yes, he has grace. But he also has truth. And it's expected. And we can't, even though I don't like it, and it's not popular. And what my friends say, well, you got to make a decision. Who's Lord? And does Lord make the rules, or do I make the rules? And if I make the rules, I'm back into idolatry again. And I have to accept what he says, hot, don't touch. But I want to, it's shiny and bright. Don't touch. Even the women turned against their natural way to have sex and instead indulged sex with one another. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. That's hard and that's true. And I'm not going to repeat any of those verses. You can study it for yourself. We can't be basing the God of all things on our feelings. We just can't. We can't base the God of all things on our popularity or my comfort and peace. Pray, if you know someone that's trapped in any of those things, pray for them. That they would be set free, uncaptured. And I'll tell you a lot of, I don't care. I may blow the stats, but I think it's safe to say 90%. If not, you can shout out a different number. But 90% of the people that we've ever met with in a counseling practice service or in our life as pastors who have struggled in those particular areas of homosexuality were harmed as children. That's what needs to be healed up. I'm just trying to be honest. Because we're the church and the word matters and God's ways are above our ways. And he knows if you touch that hot button, you're going to damage some kid for the rest of his life. And that damage is going to keep going on and on and on. Someone's got to stop the damage. Well, then what's the truth say? Apply the truth, stop the damage. Apply the truth, stop the damage. Pray for those who are captured. Pray the church walks in love and truth as well, in spirit. Say, I'm the church. Romans 1:28-31. And I just wanted to stop reading at this point when I was doing my message. This is the first episode in the series. I just wanted to make it kind of like smooth. And I just feel like all it's going to do is prune us. Yeah, but I if I'm a shepherd, I got to do that job. You know, I'm bent more towards, I was raised, like I said, in the 70s with hippies in a conservative community. I had a job, and I'm going to try to do it the best I can. It says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing, he gave them over to, say, terrible consequences. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive, say, oh, Rome, until they were filled with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil. When a door is opened by evil and not closed, more evil gets to come in. Watch that out in Scripture as well. What happened to them? Greed and evil. Full of envy, murder, strife. Oh, wait a minute. He's poking at some of my sins. He was just poking at other people for a minute. And that was a little more comfortable for me. You know, I used to love when someone else in class got in trouble and I didn't. Not my day today. Mr. Capozzi, turn around. Darn it. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and mean-spiritedness. Huh. They are gossips, spreading rumors, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. Wow, that's a long, dark, hard road. Inventors of new forms of evil. And disrespectful to parents. I'm pausing. Disrespectful to parents. But I'm going to flip it to parents. if you want to be a parent that's to be respected, then do things that are to be honored and respected if you want to honor and respect. Just because you're old, you should be honored a certain thing. You know, we're not going to let Nana fall into a mud puddle. We'll make sure she gets up. Respect her, you know. Dust her off even, maybe. She might even get a cookie if she's nice. Just saying. But all of us should be looking to not fakely have honor or be respect, but shouldn't we be honored and respecting anybody? So, I mean, we should actually be someone, by the grace of God, how do we get here, Wilson Croft? We should become someone that other people can respect, not because we want to be all that in a bag of chips, but so God can send us people so they can respect us. And that's crazy to you and I. He'd ever use dudes like us. It's crazy. Sorry, Jody, and I just had a sidebar conversation. Disrespectful parents without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, without pity. Romans 1:32. Although they know God's righteous decree and his judgment, that those who do such things deserve death, though they know it, though it's written down, though it's an excuse, yet, though they know it, they not only do them, but they invent enthusiastically and approve and tolerate others who practice them. It's an agenda in our culture. I don't talk about it in the pulpit. If I've had a side conversation with you about that topic, it's rare. But if you can't see that there's an agenda for those that would promote homosexuality in even young grades, then you're not watching TV. You're not reading the news. You're not walking down the street. Someone's getting it. Preach in there. You know? Those who do such things deserve death, yet not only do they do them, they approve and tolerate others who practice them. I wrote in here, take a breath. Want to take a breath with me? Take a minute. That was a long, hard episode. Start the series. It's going to be okay. I feel like, unfortunately, we can relate to too much like Rome. Their top five probably are top five. I'm committed to his truth. So I want to take a minute as I close. And I'd like you to close your eyes so you're not distracted. Just for a second. God placed quite a few unacceptable things in a letter to the church in Rome. And if right now you need to give him some kind of sin of any type, here's your chance right now. Like, you don't got to stay on that list. Freedom. Just take a moment. I don't know. Maybe you're a striver. Maybe you have a gossip problem. Maybe you struggle with your identity. Maybe there's a way through. And it's hard to die to ourselves. It's hard to live against culture. It's hard. But he's called us to do that. He died so we could be free from those sins. And if we believe that and we accept that and we say, Lord, yes, thank you for that forgiveness. And now I'm going to follow you. You're going to be my disciple. Yeah, your life's not your own. Yes, sir. I'm your Lord. Yes. So what I say, no matter what it is and what generation, no matter what book, no matter what new thing comes out, no matter what anyone else says, you're going to anchor your life completely on me. Yes, sir. If your anchor's not been on completely on him, and you need some kind of forgiveness, he is such a good father. You can have that right this minute. So, Father, I pray that those of us that need forgiveness for anything on that list would be free. And help us, Lord. Help us to look better in the world. And not just look better, help us be better. Lord, the things I'm still immature about at times shock me. I don't want us to be a church that crawls. I don't even want to be a church that walks. I want to be a church that runs over a troop and leaps over a wall. We would be strong again, not because we're righteously moral, we've got our Bibles, we're checking things off the list, but because within our consciousness, within who we are, we're free. Free to be your slave. What an honor that is. So, Lord, I pray that the hard road wouldn't be so hard this season. And they'd feel your hands interlaced into their hands. And they'd be able to lay their head on your chest. And when it's too hard to walk up the hard road, you'd carry him, Lord. We're your church. Bless us in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for putting up with the hard road. I believe God wants to do something in us like he's never done before. You know, last week was crazy. There's more seating space. But God doesn't just want to grow the church in these walls. There's people in your life he sent you to. And they may never step through those doors. Maybe they're never supposed to. And I want you to go be the church. Like, just go be the church. Be the raw, authentic church. Your boo-boos need fixing too. Don't be fake church. I'm, bless God, I'm fine. I'm highly favored. Dude, I know you're struggling. I am. Well, then, come on. Be touchable. Be with somebody. But don't use that as an excuse. Well, that's, you know, my excuse is I'm not made for people. You made me to be like a hermit. And God gave me a wife that is the opposite of a hermit. And it stretched me to become a better man. If you want to become a better version of you and a better version of Christ, be stretched to go up the hard road this season. You can be dismissed.